I've actually had folks critique me on like, why are you, do I need SEO if you believe in video so much? I'm trying to like lead the charge and letting folks know like YouTube is SEO.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise the glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. Jonathan here, the host of today's episode. I'm thrilled to be joined by Devin Pakel, one of the best marketers I know. We first met at Wrigley, actually. I think this is the first guest I've had on the show. I met at a ballpark. A few beers later, post-game, it only felt appropriate to continue that conversation from Wrigley Dive Bar to the Content Cocktail Hour. So Devin, thank you so much for joining us today. In your own words, tell us a little bit about your background and what you're up to.
Informally, I'm a Chicago townie. I've never left the city, I've been other places, right? Okay. I've traveled, but this is my hometown. I'm a big Chicago lover. So I was happy to oblige Jonathan and his team at the Wrigley Dive Bar after the game. But about myself, I am a consultant, advisor, what have you, for a brand called doineedseo.com. If you need SEO, you know where to find me. But I've been doing this myself for about the last 2 years. Just really hitting my stride now. Before that, been in corporate marketing for about 8 years in the content SEO and most recently video space. So a couple different pillars in the content marketing world.
I love it. A bit ironically for this episode, which is both audio and video, we're going to dig into that video topic. I've got some learnings myself as a reformed marketer using video, I guess, and I'll share some of that experience. But before we do all that, Devin, this is the Content Cocktail Hour. What are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
Yeah. So my good friend, John, JTL, John Lang, listeners may know him. He has really turned me on to like Japanese whiskey. And whenever we're out, he'll order like an old fashioned, but sometimes have tequila in it. So my favorite is like a Hibiki old fashioned. It's like a nice, like mid-shelf Japanese whiskey. I think it's made with rice instead of whatever whiskey's made with. So if you like an old fashioned, you're listening to this, highly recommend a Japanese old fashioned.
Now, you had the opportunity to double down on being a Chicago townie and say you just drink Malort.
Malort straight. Yeah, no rocks. Yeah, Malort followed by old style. I do love Malort, though. I do love it. I don't think we had the honor to like take a shot after the Cubs game, though.
Oh, that's too bad. What a shame. I'm so disappointed. One of our favorite restaurants here in our neighborhood does beer and a Malort shot for like $6. You know, it's one of the favorite things to order it for an unsuspecting group of friends to the table.
The Chicago handshake. Yeah, that's what they call it.
I love that. Maybe that's a follow-up episode. Content and Malort. We'll do that live on the scene in Chicago. Great, just
throwing them back. That takes it spicier.
Yeah. Oh, God. That would be, hot ones. Malort ones. Anyways, okay. So let's talk video. I shared with you a little bit ahead of this. I hate seeing myself on video, hate hearing myself on video a bit ironically as I'm doing this. I know there are others that feel the same way. I remember like when the walking selfie on LinkedIn became all the rage, I don't know, five, 6 years ago at this point. I was like, I'll never do that. And now like once a week, I'm posting myself on LinkedIn. Not the walking selfie, but like either a podcast episode or a piece of content we've done. And admittedly, I feel like I just ran out of excuses to not do video. I think it was a combination of two things. One, tools and technology that made it easier to edit, upload, record. I think also the adoption of those technologies made like low fidelity video more acceptable broadly. Yes. The bar got a little bit lower and a little bit more authentic. And then we as marketers, basically every channel we post to prioritizes video, right? So it's either get on board or get left behind. And I know you mentioned you've kind of shifted into video here recently. I'd be curious kind of what drove that shift and maybe what you're seeing in kind of the initial time that you're spending in that category.
Yeah. So my intro to video really started on YouTube. I would say when I joined a company called Nextiva back in summer 2020, height of the pandemic, they're in like the remote telecommunication space. Traffic was surging. We had a really talented video team, editor, videographer, folks willing to get on camera, which we all know in B2B, it's tough nudging your CEO who's already busy. Like, dude doesn't want to get on camera. But like we had a team ready to go. They just need a little bit of direction. And I was fulfilling all my duties during the day as a marketer. I was like, I would love to take this on as a side project. I love YouTube. We all love YouTube. It's one of the most like popular, I think it's the second popular search engine in the world. I was like, we could really like kick this up a notch, because in the remote telecoms, voice over IP space, there's a lot of that boring B2B whiteboard style content that we're used to, you know, big like figures with like weirdly proportioned limbs and stuff. You know exactly what I'm talking
about. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
That 2010s style of video. And I was like, no brand is like really doing anything like solid production, good audio, good editing. Took over direction for the video team, you know, and just extracted like the top 50 most traffic blogs in the past 90 days. So let's create a video for these. We know they have eyes on them. They're performing well, they're converting well, and just embed them high up in the posts and see what sort of traction we can get on the channel. And the rest is history, man. Like if you look up Next Steven now, I'm still on the advising side for them, but they're like the most popular YouTube channel in the VoIP space. And we really added our spin into a niche that had always been seen as like typically boring or bland content. So yeah, that was Nextiva, and went to a different company after Nextiva. Experimented a little bit with video, but went more into like the ads and organic and performance marketing space, and really had missed being knee deep in video. But after I was laid off from that job, said, what the heck, you know, I've been doing this for almost 10 years now myself, and started my own venture. Started a lot in the SEO and content marketing world, but really leaned back into video because it's a channel I believe in so much. So much so that now on the advising side with Nextiva, we're seeing in like customer calls or in feedback to like our video team, like, hey, we discovered you from your YouTube channel. Like, we know like the attribution discovery phase is so messy. There's a million different touch points, but you know, showing up on a platform, folks like you and I in the B2B space are on YouTube. I listen to YouTube podcasts. I listen to videos, even as just like background noise. This research is happening on YouTube, and a lot of brands either aren't showing up or they're not really giving the channel its due diligence.
I'm fascinated by this. I'm going to take this in a direction I kind of wasn't anticipating, but you mentioned like, we kind of joke, like we know the 2010s like B2B video style, right? Very generic, but like, how important is it for marketers to be in the channel? Like, because you were a consumer on YouTube, unrelated to your job, you had this like built-in filter for what works and what doesn't. Like, I feel like there's an inherent lesson in there.
Yeah, it's all about engagement, audience retention. A lot of folks, you know, I work with, even on the video side, they don't really like dive into the YouTube analytics and like look at performance on a video by video basis. And I come from a SEO background. At its core, YouTube is, there's an SEO element to it. And you got to know technically what goes into a good video and making sure you get the visibility on it, and using your other high performing channels like your blog, like your newsletter, to get eyes onto that video and hack growth early and show YouTube, we're giving this an honest shot. I've done work on several other channels, but Nextiva is a good case study for this, because it's, we've even borrowed from HubSpot and Ahrefs, which were two brands that had always done video really well. And even using the banner to show and tell visitors, hey, we publish once a week, twice a week, whatever our cadence is. Like, we adopted that at Nextiva, and it's little things like that and sticking to a cadence that shows YouTube, like, maybe we need to rank these guys a little bit higher and like give them the views that they're owed.
It's fascinating. I shared this anecdote with you, but as I mentioned, like maybe a bit of a bashful video marketer myself, but you know, we've got this podcast and we're publishing twice a week. We publish to YouTube. We do shorts as well as the like wide angle, longer version of the full episode. We do it because we want prospects and customers to listen to it, to watch it, but like, I was never tied to like, oh, this has to be like, get this many views or have this type of results for us. It just, I knew it was the right thing to do. It was a good forcing function to have conversations. And we were doing that for probably 3 or 4 months. And I would say over the last 3 or 4 months, I've started to see every time I log in, it's like there's 10 more subscribers, 5 more subscribers, 12 more subscribers. You might be hitting on something there that is that consistency of like, even without, obviously a lot of effort goes into creating the video, but I'm not sitting there promoting it in a huge way, but I know the algorithm feeds it. I know it is a large search engine that people are using. I know when somebody views one video, it's more likely to reappear to them, or a brand's more likely to reappear to them. It's just like that consistency of just showing up is having results. And like, again, I guess my encouragement here is to marketers who aren't doing video, like you're running out of time and you're running out of excuses to not be doing it at this point. What would you say to somebody who is maybe just getting started or knows they should be doing it, but they need to build the case internally for it?
Like what you touched on earlier, it doesn't have to be this Hollywood level production. As you get more of your reps in, there's great tools like Descript. There's an iPhone camera. Honestly, if you have like a 12 or up, like, and a decent microphone, you could really create some awesome production quality videos. And you go on a platform like Upwork or Fiverr, there are plenty of folks, you know, I've worked with for videos for myself on the editing side, with how much money we pour into blogs, landing pages, stuff that is sort of up in the air. I work in SEO. I don't say SEO is dead. It's changing. But with written content, we know we're sort of at this weird point in B2B where we need to start exploring a different channel, be that podcast, be that video, something that is not as easily replicated via AI. And if it is, like, we are going to be able to snuff it out pretty easily. We're going to be like, what the hell are these folks doing? And I really think we're going to reach a fork in the road. Brands are going to give an honest shot to video, be that in-house or working with external contractors to make sure it's executed well. Or, you know, we're going to look to platforms like Midjourney or Sora. With how great they get on the quality side, we'll see. But I remember when AI images first dropped, the first couple of weeks, everyone was like, oh my God, this is like the coolest thing ever. And then now you'll see it posted on like social media replies or whatever, and like gets no engagement. Like the AI exhaustion's already bleeding in. And so now is a good time to experiment with it. Again, quality aside, making sure you show up consistently, showing YouTube and the algorithm that we want to be here, we're trying, engaging in comments. Again, having your other high-performing channels feed the YouTube channel and showing those engagement signals. That's all you really need right now.
You hit on something there that is like the AI piece of all of this. I think like it's a combination of AI and like people being, I think, maybe skeptical of not the technology, but the, like you said, the output and being able to snuff it out, along with this like rise of influencer and creator marketing. Like, it's very clear people are longing this human connection in everything we do, and B2B space maybe inherently like not super human. I think that's changing now, but I think like that's another reason to dive into video, right? Is because it is more human than potentially other content sources, and it creates connection quicker and stronger, I think, than other channels itself. We felt that ourselves. So that would be my encouragement to any other marketers out there.
100%. You know, and this is not just YouTube. You have these video files after they're made. They could be repurposed on the site. That static image on your product page, how about testing, running an A/B test? Let's swap it for video. And then let's measure like time on page conversions. Let's see if we even like snag a video carousel on Google search. Like, there are different ways you could use video. Vertical video on LinkedIn is a great example right now. We see like time and time again, folks getting massive boosts in impressions, engagement on LinkedIn because, hey, the algorithm's going to boost what it wants to. And video is a great opportunity, I think, to just, you know, supplement our written content.
Yeah. And you've talked about your kind of shift, might be too strong of a word, but kind of the evolution for yourself from SEO marketing into video marketing. But they're also like inherently connected, right? Like, how much should we think about SEO or not think about SEO when we are creating video?
It always boils down to a formula at its core. You're going to have to touch on, in the script even, hit the keyword in the title, in the meta description, in the tags. You're going to have the timestamps in the video so that if you do show up in Google search, essentially taking up more real estate. These are the things that Google search platforms want you to do with the videos. It just shows that added extra effort in treating it like a real content asset instead of, hey, we got a 45-minute webinar. Our CEO said we should post it. And then this thing gets like 30 views in 6 months. And you're like, oh, video sucks. I was actually just talking with Andrew Kaplan. He's the owner of Delivering Value. He's been giving them some tips on using his videos and scripts to rank better in search. He's like, dude, this stuff is like, it's a formula. You know, if you use it correctly, immediately repurposing his video scripts into short form blogs and embedding the videos back on that blog And within like a day or two, he Slacked me. He's like, look, I'm like ranking for this term in Google search. Again, at its core, it's a search engine. And I've actually had folks like critique me on like, why are you, do I need SEO if you believe in video so much? I'm trying to like sort of lead the charge and letting folks know like YouTube is SEO.
So a little bit of inside information here for any watchers or listeners of this episode. I send the guests the day the podcast gets published. I send them links to the audio platforms, links to the Juice platform where it's published, links to YouTube where it's published. I am terrified to send you that because I feel like you're going to be like, these guys don't know what they're doing when they post this to YouTube. This is awful. So I'm going to need you to coach me up on your episode, right?
I got you.
We'll call it even, right? I know some of those things, but I feel like there's also, when you say it's like a formula, like I know like closed captioning is a big one, right? On LinkedIn, yep. Like you have to have closed captioning. And honestly, I always wrestle with, this is way too much inside information. Our vertical videos, we produce closed captioning into the video, but I'm pretty sure I still need to add the LinkedIn closed captioning for the LinkedIn algo to know that there's closed captioning and treat it better. There's a bunch of little things like that that I'm always interested in testing. I need to spend some time doing it, but I don't know. It's also fascinating to me. I'm learning a lot in real time, very clearly.
And it all goes back to keeping people retained. If we're able to, you could even test yourself, like having the descript captions across the screen, weighing that against like a video with no captions at all. But with things like OCR, you know, like image recognition technology that can literally read text, extract it from a screen. YouTube is a Google property and Google is a massive corporation. This is the sort of tech they have at play. And like just giving your best shot in that editing phase and that post-production and making sure we're covering all of our bases from an SEO standpoint. This is just how you get more eyes. But man, you're getting like 10, 15 subscribers probably every week. Like, you don't need my help.
I don't know. We'll see about that. You say that now. Wait, John, send you what we send you. I'm curious, maybe where do you go for inspiration? Both kind of like B2B, like who out there is doing video well, crushing it that we should go check out? And then like outside of the B2B space, how do you let your personal consumption habits maybe influence what you do professionally?
Yeah, I would say in the B2B space, I always default to Ahrefs and HubSpot. I know about us, but I know folks were this past week dunking on HubSpot and their traffic decline. Yeah. I would say, hey, I would still love 2.5 million organic sessions a month on my site. I don't know about you guys, but they do video so well. And they really have paved the way in what I call like the spokesperson model. And we know whether it's adding a face on a thumbnail, that Mr. Beast came out with that report like 6 months ago about how him and his team do like A/B testing on their thumbnails, just from different expressions on his face, smiling, frowning, people in the front, people in the back. We know like humans, when we talk about humanizing a B2B brand, HubSpot and Ahrefs have done that so well, and they've been doing it for years now. So they've always been like inspiration for me. I would say a smaller creator, just more of like a sole creator. He's in the voice over IP space. His name is Prince Rich Technology Group. He has, I think, about 10,000 followers. Nothing massive, but like this guy, Prince, if you're listening to this, love you, man. He is like 20, 30 minute videos, but like works with all the providers in a consultative space. We'll have leads come through his videos of, hey, I'm a small business. I have X amount of employees. I have remote locations. What sort of solution do you think I need? And YouTube is probably his biggest lead driver. I think from a consultative space in the B2B world, Prince is like one of the best at it. If you are like an independent consultant and trying to build a referral network out to other B2B brands, like watch Prince's channel.
I'm curious, does your personal consumption habits like influence how you try to be on the leading edge in the B2B space as well?
I always aim for, you know, if I'm watching a video start to finish, man, like that 5 to 7 minute is such a sweet spot. Even I've seen in the YouTube analytics, like there are drop off points in B2B content that fall off pretty sharply after that point. I'll even remove myself and sort of reverse engineer and be like, yeah, you know what? Within that first like 30 seconds to a minute, if I'm not hooked, like I'm gone. So then you can integrate that back into your scripting, storytelling process and the editing. What can we do to like keep people hooked early, keep them engaged? And what are things we do throughout the video? If we talk about breaking it up into like 1 minute chunks to keep hooking them onto the next section of the video. So any folks who are in the YouTube space right now, if you're just getting started, maybe you got a couple hundred subscribers on the B2B side, really dive into YouTube Studio, get comfortable with your analytics and retention metrics, because that has always been like the best indicator for a video success, in my opinion.
I love that. Yeah, I'm super nervous to send you this video, although I'm learning a little bit. So I'm going to listen back to it, and this has made me better. So I appreciate it, all the insights. All right, Devin, we always end these conversations. What's an unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to B2B marketing?
We are moving toward a model of talkers and less doers. I have a couple folks who work with me now. I'm being more adamant about not being afraid to still get in the weeds. It's a little bit easier. You know, I only have like a 2-3 person team, so I have to be in that operator space. But we've seen the success, the boom of TikTok, and people building a personal brand like Corporate Natalie are now on LinkedIn. And we see like, wow, that is like, I would love to be her. You know, no hate to them. They have built these personas for themselves. But I see a lot of folks in the B2B space try to replicate that. And it's like, at the end of the day, like we do need doers. As much as we need talkers, it's like, I want to see the good work in tandem with get ready with me's and day in the lives and like, you know, more personable content. I would love to see more of the true work behind it. So in a world filling up with talkers, let's make sure the doers have their flowers. So.
It's really interesting. I love that. We've seen on our platform, on the Juice platform, where the content that resonates, like AI is a great example of this. When AI first came on the scenes, we expected that topic to be extremely popular on our platform. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't for like 3 or 4 months. And then like 3 or 4 months after generative, the first round of ChatGPT was released, it became very popular. I was like, is that just like the long tail of this topic? And so I dug in with our product leader. What happened was that first 3 or 4 months, most of the content on our platform was like, what does AI mean for the future of XYZ? How AI is going to revolutionize XYZ industry. And it wasn't super popular. And then 3 or 4 months later, people started writing how to use AI to craft your SEO plan, how to use AI, like what to do. And I think like, in the B2B space, especially, like people are extremely interested in templates and toolkits and the how-to type of stuff. But that doesn't mean it has to be boring either. There's certainly a happy medium between those two.
Yeah. Love a free asset.
Yeah. You and me both. Devin, if people want to learn more from you or learn more about video or doineedseo.com, what's the best way to learn from you?
Yeah, you just said my site, so that's great. But also, I'm active every day on LinkedIn. That's the best place to find me. First name, Devin, D-E-V-I-N. Last name, Pickell, P-I-C-K-E-L-L. But it'll probably be in somewhere in the title or description. So you know where to find me.
We will have all those links in the show notes. Devin, thank you so much for joining. Until next time, cheers.
Awesome. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.